Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I have some business to attend to before we get into our episode today. First, I have been asked to help spread the word about our Union brother who was killed in the line of duty, Ray Hodge. The person who murdered him is having the sentencing coming up. And let me just read you the announcement that that was passed along to me. This came to me from Ron Speakman of the Fed Up podcast. Calling all NALC members and city letter carriers. On Thursday, May 29th, we need you to stand with us in solidarity and strength as we demand justice for our fallen brother, Ray Hodge, a Harlem city letter carrier who was murdered on the job while delivering mail to the community he faithfully served. Ray was more than a postal worker. He was a father, a fiancé, a friend, and a union brother. On January 2nd, 2025, his life was stolen in broad daylight, an unthinkable tragedy that shook our entire postal family. Now, as sentencing approaches, it's time for every carrier, every union member, every advocate to show up and speak out. We owe it to his family. We owe it to Ray. We owe it to every postal worker who risks their life serving this country. Date, Thursday, May 29th. Time, meet at 9 a.m. in front of the courthouse. Sentencing hearing, 9:45 a.m., 13th floor, Part 32. I guess that's how they arrange their courthouses. It's Part 32. I don't know. But if you go there, then you'll see whatever Part 32 is. Location, 100 Center Street, New York, New York. In honor of Ray Hodge and to support his family, NALC members and city letter carriers are encouraged to attend the sentencing hearing. Participants are asked to meet at the courthouse at 9 a.m., wearing shirts or carrying signs that call for justice and the maximum sentence for the perpetrator, who has pleaded guilty to first-degree manslaughter as part of a plea deal offered to him. Come raise your voice with us and be heard as we call on the court to deliver the maximum sentence possible for Ray's killer. Let's pack the courthouse steps with unity, love, and purpose, and show support in the courtroom as well. We are asking for those that want to come into the sentencing hearing itself to show support to arrive at 9:30 a.m. on the 13th floor so that we can be sure to fill up those seats. While this is about showing love and support for Ray and his family, please keep in mind that this is not just about Ray. It's about protecting every one of us who wears that satchel and uniform. Let's remind the justice system that postal workers are not invisible. We demand protection, we demand accountability, and above all, we demand justice for Ray. All right, so once again, you can find this on the Fed Up Facebook page. It's Fed Up. It's got a black logo. It says Fed Up. And that's Ron Speakman's Facebook group for his podcast. And this is to be present at the sentencing hearing. All right, so with that covered, let me now get into what I am actually here to talk about. No, that's not true. I actually have more business to get to before we get started, because I have a couple of corrections to make. You know, we get accused from time to time of spreading misinformation. It's always from the same people. The good old boys at our branch say that the podcast spreads misinformation. And of course, that's something that we never intentionally do, but it's not like we never misspeak or that we're never wrong about things. Of course we are. So the first correction that I want to make is that the Nevada State Association of Letter Carriers, our state association, I want to let you guys know that the president does listen to Classes of Mail. So we had an episode titled Michael Brazenly Returns to Discuss the Role of This Podcast. And at around the 12-minute and 20-second mark, we were talking about this article that was written about us by our state president in the state newsletter. And Michael said, just to paraphrase, you can hear it yourself if you go to that podcast and go to skip forward to 12:20. We talked about the state president on a previous episode where he'd said that we were giving misinformation, which to me means he never listened to anything we did the podcast on. And the conversation goes on from there a little bit, but that's Michael's speculation, you know, that, hey, if this guy is saying the things that he's saying we're giving misinformation, he must be not listening. And so we just had our state convention, and Michael was there, and the state president actually pulled Michael aside and wanted to set the record straight about the podcast. and let Michael know that he did, in fact, listen to a few episodes of Classes of Mail. And so Michael was, you know, speaking out of turn when he said that he thought the state president must not listen. So, again, let it be known, the state president of the Nevada State Association of Letter Carriers listens to Classes of Mail. And in that same episode, I went back and listened to it to see, like, what exactly Michael said. And that is the same episode where we talk about, you know, we're talking about the role of the podcast and how it is a voice against the ills of our branch, that this is our way of speaking up and speaking out. And when the state president pulled Michael aside, he didn't take issue with any of that stuff. You know, any of the issues that we raised, he didn't say we were wrong about those issues. And with, you know, that was the episode where we kept repeating that obviously what the good old boys want, because we tried like going to the state, going to the branch president, that didn't work. We tried asking people questions, that didn't work. We tried bringing it up, that didn't work. And now we're talking about it on the podcast. And obviously what the state president wants us to do is just shut the fuck up. And he did not take issue with that, you know, with that stance. Apparently that is what he wants. But I mean, now in fairness, you know, it was a short conversation. I wasn't there for it. I heard this from Michael. And, you know, maybe there was just limited time for what he wanted to address. But of all the things he chose to address, he chose to address that he did, in fact, listen to the podcast. So I'm letting you guys know, yes, the state president does listen. All right, so now we got another correction. And on a recent episode, Michael and I were talking about how to file a grievance and how to get information when you request information. And Michael had said that management has till the end of tour to give you the information that you request. And we went back and forth a little bit, but I let it go. And at the end of the podcast, I said, hey, if anybody has any corrections or things they want to let us know, send me an email, classesofmail@gmail.com. And I got emails that let me know that, yes, in fact, Michael was mistaken. Michael is not usually wrong. Usually it is I who is wrong. But management is just given a reasonable amount of time to give you that information. It's not a specific time limit. So that correction is out there. Okay, so with those out of the way, now we're going to talk about the reform movement in Branch 2502. I am part of the Branch 2502 Reform Caucus, and the things that we are working for, you know, we've been trying to reform this branch. And it's not just me. It's not just Michael. We have other supporters, other people who are part of the team, other people who want to see the branch get in line with the bylaws. Leslie, who's been a guest on this podcast before and has been writing her own articles for the state newsletter. We have Andrew, Patty, a number of other supporters who are aligned with this Branch 2502 Reform Caucus. And again, the goal, as stated in the name, is to reform the branch, is to get it back in line with the bylaws and to get our union officers to run the branch, you know, the right way, the way that we've all agreed that it's supposed to get in or supposed to be handled. That's why we have the bylaws. But as you guys know, even trying to get the bylaws has been a problem, and they're still not on our website. We'll talk more about that in just a minute because that came up. But I have good news. And the good news is that this reform movement, that this agitating that we've been doing month after month after month, it's starting to work. And it's starting to take hold. And so I'm not shy about coming on here and griping about, you know, what issues our branch is facing. And so I'm also going to give credit where credit is due. And the branch does seem to be, our branch officers seem to be making more of an effort to follow the bylaws and to do things the right way. And so I want to talk about that because we had our branch meeting. So the first thing I want to talk about, I'm going to have to go a little bit out of order, is I want to leave you I want to give you the update about from the last episode about how the bylaw changes went. So at the meeting, the branch secretary, the goodest oldest boy, withdrew the bylaw proposal. And when I showed up for the meeting at the beginning, he said, hey, I got some paperwork I have to give you. And he brought over a new proposal for the bylaw changes, and it had the changes in bold. And it was great. Like, dude, that's the way it's supposed to be done. And I hope that giving that to me and trying to do this the right way, I hope that he'll see that it's not so bad. You know, doing things by the book and actually trying to get these bylaws changed with the proper procedure, it's not that painful. We can do things the right way, and then we don't have to worry about appeals and you know, Article 10 charges and getting things undone on the back end. And so when he handed me the bylaw, the proposal, he said, hey, we're not going to announce this at this meeting. We want to make sure we can get it into our state newsletter so that we have proper notification for everybody before we bring it to the meeting. And man, what a change from the first go-round when the goodest oldest boy didn't even want to meet. And guys, this is progress. This is what we're doing. This is why we've been agitating, because this is the kind of thing that we're trying to accomplish, and it's being accomplished. It's fits and starts, and it ain't easy. But again, I have to give credit. The branch secretary, the goodest oldest boy, he did the right thing. He gave the proper proposal. You know, I'm still going to give my feedback on it and suggest some other changes to it in my role as a member of the bylaws committee and at the meeting in my role as a member of the branch at the regular meeting. But these are positive steps, guys, and I'm really happy about them. Okay, so speaking of the goodest oldest boy, I got an email from him not too long ago with our new election announcement. As you guys know, we're going to have to redo our whole election because the old one was so tainted, and we got word from the National Committee on Appeals that my appeal was sustained and that we're going to rerun the whole election. So the email, and so I asked the branch secretary, hey, let me see what the announcement is going to be before it gets published, because if there's screwed up stuff in there, we want to try to fix this stuff before it goes out, before it's too late. And so he did. Again, credit where credit is due. He sent it to me. And so I looked it over, and you guys know from the last episode that there are these proposed changes to our job titles and other changes that went with it, where instead of it just being branch secretary, it's going to be recording secretary and financial secretary. And instead of being treasurer, it's going to be treasurer and financial secretary, which, you know, that may be its own problem, but that's to be argued out in the bylaw amendment process. Well, unfortunately, the announcement that he sent to me listed the job titles as the new titles post-change, and those changes haven't been approved yet. And so I don't think we can advertise that we're going to be doing nominations for positions that don't even exist yet. But, you know, I don't know, because there's also probably going to be an issue of if we change those titles midstream, what does that do to the nomination process? I don't know. So I brought this stuff to his attention. But more importantly was the timeline. This was the much bigger issue that I had, because the timeline that he put forward in this announcement, well, you can guess. I'd go ahead and guess what this timeline was like. You are correct. It was stretched out as long as it could go. And he had the installation of new officers scheduled for January. So I pointed out the issues to him, and I just asked, hey, how did you arrive at this timeline? Because I knew that the election is supposed to be overseen by officers from National, because our branch fucked it up so bad that we had to get people from National to come out and oversee the election. And that was part of our sustained appeal, was that National would oversee the election. And so did National come up with this timeline, or is this just the goodest oldest boy doing what good old boys do? You know, anything to stay in office another couple of months. So I asked him, I pointed out the issues, and I said, you know, how did you arrive at this timeline? And he never answered. But when we got to the branch meeting, the president announced that our overseers from National have been assigned. that we now know who is going to be overseeing our election, which is great. And I'm pretty sure, I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be the same people who came out to do the special investigation, which also our branch fucked up so bad that we had to get people from National out to do that. So I think it's going to be those same people. And if it is, I'm fine with it. Whatever my thoughts are about the investigation and the results, they seemed fair-minded. And at least it's going to be out of the hands of the people who screwed it up so bad the last time. So in addition to saying that we now have these overseers, he also announced the timeline for the election that was instituted by National, and it moved it up a couple of months from what the goodest oldest boy had sent me. And so that, guys, that's it. That's progress. That's what we're looking for. That's why we filed the appeals. That's why when we were arguing in front of the branch, like the other reform-minded members, you know, we talked to each other and we're like, somebody said, hey, make sure you add on there that this needs to be overseen by National. Otherwise, they're just going to do the same crap again the next time. And it happened. And it's here. And we're seeing the fruit. And this is why I wanted to do this episode, because you guys know how frustrating this process has been and how the good old boys have stymied our reform efforts at every step. But here it is, tangibly, that we are making progress. You know, the branch made a decision with that appeal, and now that decision is being acted upon, and National is actually stepping in and making sure that things go right. Speaking of the appeal, I mean, things are not all rosy. This is the appeal where somebody had to give the branch's position, and the president's like, oh, I speak for the branch, and then he totally just undermined the branch's position. And the Committee on Appeals had to rule his what he wrote out of order. And I mean, this is still the guy we're dealing with. But that's why it's so important to have this oversight, and now we have it. And guys, this is success. Here we are. The will of the branch won out. The way that it's supposed to go, it happened. It went that way. And it's so encouraging, you know, that again, that what we're doing is having an effect. Because obviously, if we had not stood up, if we had not questioned, if we had not looked at the rules, none of this would have happened. We would have just had our original election. The ballots would have been kept in the president's office. Well, I mean, they were, but then there would have been nothing of it. You know, that's it. Yeah, that's the way it goes. And that's all there is to it. So this is serious progress. This is great. All right. So then something else happened at the branch meeting, which I had never seen before. No, I didn't go to last month, and apparently this happened last month too, but this is new for our branch. The treasurer got up in front of the branch and read out warrants. He read out that, okay, the branch president traveled to go to the Committee of Presidents meeting or whatever it was. I don't know. And the gas was $80. So we're going to reimburse him that $80. And then the branch either, you know, yay or nay to approve that expense. And this is the way that it's supposed to be done. And we went through these expenses, you know, X amount for a phone bill and this amount for travel expenses and whatever it was. And the branch got to hear all these ways that their money is being spent and decide whether they wanted to approve or decline. And, you know, I've talked to other branch presidents like Fred Woodley of Delivering Solidarity. And he's like, wait, you guys never did that before? That's supposed to always happen. And I'm like, yeah, dude, that's what I've been fighting against. And now it is finally happening. And so, again, this is progress. This is great. I will take this. So the branch voted, and it's a rubber stamp, and that's fine. You know, I don't begrudge the branch spending money on the things that it's supposed to spend money on. I voted yay on all that stuff too. But the really cool thing was that there was a controversy. And the controversy is this. So our most recent bylaw change, which is still non-existent, I can find that the language of the change nowhere. But the most recent bylaw change was that we had this provision in our bylaws that if somebody got put on a committee or had to do a special service for the branch or whatever, that they would get paid, like the investigators. In fact, this is who it's about in this instance. The investigators who had to originally do, there was an investigation against our president a while back. And so they get paid hourly for doing that, but the cap is at 5 hours. And so if it takes you 15 hours to do your investigation, well, you're out of luck. You're only getting 5 hours of pay. And that was in our bylaws. So our bylaws got changed to remove the cap. And however many hours you actually put in, that's how much you're going to get paid, which is great. I'm all for that. You know, the union should not be about wage theft. If you're working, you should get paid for it. So anyway, people who were on this old committee from back before the bylaw change happened put in an amended invoice and were like, hey, we all worked 13 hours, and so we'd like to get paid these additional 8 hours. And there was some discussion about it on the floor. And for my own perspective, again, I'm in favor of people getting paid for the hours they work, but I don't think that the branch can vote to violate its own bylaws. Like, I think that is one of the things that's prohibited in Robert's Rules of Order, that you can't break your... There's some rules that you can break, like procedural rules, but your actual bylaws, I don't think you can just vote to break your bylaws. And the fact is, at the time that these people were impaneled, the bylaws limited it to 5 hours. And so I think they're stuck and they get screwed. And as much as I may not like it, our hands are kind of tied here because that was the bylaws at the time. If you know different, by all means, let me know, classesandmail@gmail.com, because this is kind of a nuanced situation. But what the people in the crowd took issue with was that everybody put in for an additional 8 hours or 8.5 or whatever it was. And somebody pointed out, well, wait, at least one of those people wasn't present for, I don't know, whatever it was. So how could they all have the exact same amount of hours? It seems like they just fudged it. And so the branch, well, you know, they start asking questions about it. Before we're going to pay these people all these hours, we want to make sure that they're actually worked. And so the motion to pay them got withdrawn, or it got tabled, I should say, and it's going to be investigated. Well, wait, let's make sure that all these hours are right before we even bring it to the branch. And guys, that's, again, this is how the system is supposed to work, that there's oversight, that the check that the branch is supposed to be, it existed, and it acted in its appropriate capacity, in its design capacity. And oh my God, guys, it was so fucking beautiful. This is the point, and this is why we've been pushing for these changes, and it is a beautiful thing to see this happening. And would this have happened if we weren't agitating for this sort of thing? No, I know it wouldn't happen because it hasn't happened for years, and apparently at the meeting that I missed, when the treasurer got up, he's like, we have to do this now because you guys are all sticklers for the bylaws, and like, fucking right you do. That's why we have the bylaws. All right, so then we get to the good of the order, and I have something to offer the branch. I wrote new bylaws for the branch because we had no extant version of our bylaws. We finally got them uploaded to the website. The link on our website for our bylaws had been broken forever. That link finally got fixed. Unfortunately, if you click the link, it goes to this old version of the bylaws that's at least 2.5 years old. And then there are amendments, not even the most recent amendments, like amendments from 2.5 years ago, that are just pasted down at the bottom, but they're not incorporated into the bylaws. And then on top of that, it was this PDF image file. And because it was an image file, you couldn't search it, you couldn't copy it. It was just an image of like somebody scanned in a piece of paper that was typewritten. And so finally said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm just going to reproduce the bylaws so that we'll now have them in a proper format, and I'll incorporate the amendments, at least the amendments that I have access to. Because like I said, the most recent ones, nowhere to be found. So for the good of the order, I present this to the branch. I say, hey, you know, we've gone all this time without bylaws, and I went ahead and reproduced them. So the president cuts me off. He's like, hey, Alan, I'm going to stop you right there. He says that the treasurer, the same guy who was now reading the warrants, went ahead and rewrote the bylaws a couple of weeks ago. And so it kind of, you know, stole my thunder. But more importantly, The fucking branch, the branch officers did what they're supposed to do. It's goddamn amazing. And so I still have not seen the alleged new bylaws that have been updated. You know, like I said, they're still not on the website. I asked the branch secretary to send me an email with the new bylaws that have been created, and he has not done so yet. So maybe they were blowing smoke, but I don't think so. I think that that was actually the truth, because they said that they've also been handing out this new version to the new members of the branch, like when new hires come on. And again, this is something that we push for. This is something that was in the charges against the president. And so, guys, it's working. We are making this progress. This is success. You know, what would have happened with our bylaws if we had not gotten pushy about it, if we had not made a stink? I know exactly what would have happened, because we have 2.5 years of evidence of what happened. It just gets ignored. Nobody cares. Nobody cares that the bylaws exist. Nobody bothers to look at the bylaws. And all this agitating, it's fucking working. And man, is that satisfying. Something else that's finally happening again is that our branch is doing its labor management meetings, where they're asking the postmaster the tough questions. And hey, what are we going to do about start times? What are you doing about trucks that, you know, like stations don't have enough trucks, or, you know, stuff like that, and getting the postmaster on record. And so that's finally happening again. And it, again, it's very satisfying to see that, you know, there's fits and starts, obviously, and there's more obstacles that lay ahead of us, but it's working. Like, if you read the rules and tell people, hey, these are the rules, and if they still ignore them, you can go above their heads. It's working. This is success. So we have this meeting, and these things happen that are supposed to happen, that are consistent with the bylaws. You know how much confrontation there was at that meeting? Essentially none. You know how many times I had to do an Article 11 appeal to appeal a decision of the president because he was doing us dirty? None. It's almost like when we were saying we just want the branch run in accordance with the bylaws, it's almost like we were telling the truth, that that really is what we want. And that really is what we're asking for and what we're pushing for. And if they do that, there will be less issues. If you run the branch in accordance with the bylaws, in accordance with the Constitution, there will be less confrontation. There will be less agitation, because that's what we're agitating for. And so I hope that this is not lost on our branch officers. I hope this is not lost on the branch president. You know, I hope that he's starting to see that just doing things the right way, running it honestly, it's the better way. That we have bylaws for a reason, and nobody is above those bylaws. And when we say we want the branch to follow the rules, we mean it. It's not an ulterior motive. We don't just want them to follow the rules because we lost the election. We were doing that before the election results even came in. We are who we say we are. And this is proof that, A, that we're telling the truth, and B, that it's working. So we're going to keep at it. We are going to keep pushing for positive reform. The Branch 2502 Caucus, Reform Caucus, will still keep doing its work. If you want to get involved, if you're in the Las Vegas area, it's 2502reform@gmail.com. Send a message to that email, and somebody from the Reform Caucus will get back with you, and you can get on board with what we're trying to accomplish here. So, you know, we're not asking anything crazy. We're not trying to institute our own crazy rules. We just want the branch to be run properly. Now, the other end of that is that Michael and I are still going to campaign. We're going to be running in this next election. I think the nominations are happening in August. I think it's August, September. Yeah, August is nominations. September is the voting. And installation is in October. So that's a couple of months ahead of what the good old boy, goodest oldest boy said. Well, so that's good. So, you know, we will have a platform for that, for the things, the positive changes we want to make. But for now, getting the branch to comply with its own rules, it feels good, guys. It feels good to make this kind of progress. All right. So we're at 30 minutes. It's about where I like to wrap it up. But before I get out of here, as I don't know if you'd call this a reward, but because you listened all the way to the end, I'm going to give you a little bit of bonus material. In fact, it's gross. And it's something that happened to me today at work. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here. I'm going to play the outro music. And then after that, if you want to hear it, then listen after the outro. If you don't, it's gross. Then, but I find it funny. So that's it. That's the end of the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the feedback we've been getting. I appreciate you holding us accountable and letting us know that, hey, you got this wrong so that I can make these corrections. I appreciate all of it. You guys are the best. And I will catch you all next time. Still here? All right. Well, you're in for it then. So I'm out doing my route today and I'm on a parking loop. And earlier in the day, I had stopped at AMPM and got myself a fountain drink. And I drank it all down and there was just ice left and then like a little bit of like Dr. Pepper residue. And so I do my loop and I know when I get back to the truck that I'm going to have this cup waiting for me with like a fairly melted ice and a little bit of Dr. Pepper residue in it. And that'll be good. You know, it'll be refreshing when I get back to the truck. So I finish my loop. I get back to the truck, sit down in the LLV, reach over and grab the cup. And I look at it as I go to drink it. And two things are unusual. One, I expected there to be at least still a little bit of ice floating in it, and there wasn't. There was no ice at all. And the second thing is that I expected it to be mostly clear with a little bit of brown tint to it, and it was yellow. That's odd. And I go to drink it, and I take a nice big mouthful, and once it fills my mouth, I realize why it does not look the way I expected it to look. And it is because that cup was full of piss. Yeah, I did it to myself. So luckily I did not swallow it and I was able to spit it out and rinse out my mouth. But you know, you're not supposed to go to the bathroom in the back of the LLV, and there's very good reasons for that. I was not far from a comfort stop. I wasn't behind schedule, and there's no such thing. That's bullshit. You get time to go to the bathroom. But you know, if just me and you being real, if I'm at home and I'm given the option, I prefer to pee in the backyard rather than peeing in the bathroom. It's just something about being a man, you know, that I'll pee on the bushes or like if there was a cliff, I'd pee off the cliff. And I don't know. It doesn't bother me to go to the bathroom. I know there's very good reasons why you should not do that, but I did. And you know what? I paid the price. I did not drink it, but I had a mouthful of my own piss, and that is not okay.